It's been a pretty tough week for Donald Trump and a tough week for Republicans who formed uneasy alliances with Trump, hoping he'd stay on message and temper his message once he became the nominee. Instead, Trump feuded with the parents of a Muslim soldier killed serving in Iraq, joked about a Purple Heart, and declined to endorse House Speaker Paul Ryan and Senator John McCain. But according to Trump, everything is just fine.
I just want to tell you, the campaign is doing really well. It's never been so well united. We started on June 16th. I would say right now it's the best in terms of being united that it's been since we began.
Yet another way that Trump doesn't quite see eye to eye with many of his fellow Republicans. And that's a big reason why Trump has done so well. He rails against the orthodoxy of his party. Our next guest says the party has itself to blame for Trump's rise. Max Boot is a senior fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations and a former foreign policy advisor to several Republican presidential campaigns. Max Boot, welcome to Here and Now.
Thanks for having me on.
You write in a recent op-ed in the New York Times that in modern times, Republicans embraced anti-intellectualism for its own political purposes. Nixon's embrace of hard hats and the silent majority, Ronald Reagan railing at the little intellectual elite in a far distant capital. But you argue that it was something of a put-on until now. Explain.
Well, the Republican Party since the 1950s has masqueraded, I would say, as the populist, anti-intellectual, anti-elite party. But the people that the Republican Party was actually nominating to become president were people like General Dwight David Eisenhower or Richard Nixon or Ronald Reagan or George H.W. Bush or others. They were actually intelligent people with a long background in public policy and a wide knowledge of the world. They were not actually these ignoramuses that they were pretending to be in order to win votes, in order to appeal to the common man. In a way, though, the joke is on the Republican Party, because now, after decades of masquerading as the stupid party, that is, in fact, what the Republican Party has become, because Donald Trump is every bit as much of an ignoramus as his predecessors only pretended to be. I mean, this is a guy who genuinely knows terrifyingly little about public policy. And what little he knows is crazy. I mean, this is the guy who spouts off these insane conspiracy theories about how President Obama wasn't born in the United States or Ted Cruz's father was involved in the Kennedy assassination. I mean, it's terrifying. This is like the guy on the bar stool at the end of the bar who's had way too many drinks. And all of a sudden, the Republican Party has put forward this guy as its nominee to be president of the United States. I mean, this is a sad travesty, but unfortunately, I think this is where the Republican Party's anti-intellectual, anti-elite stance has led it.
The GOP was playing with fire, Max, by masquerading its anti-intellectualism in public for years.
That's exactly right. And, you know, I think it's gotten worse in the last decade or so, especially with the rise of the Tea Party, which is aggressively hostile even to conservative elites in Washington and is not interested in innovative policy proposals. All they want is to basically spew hatred and absolutism and to rail against any attempt to compromise or to pass legislation. What Donald Trump has is anger, and he rails against elites in Washington, New York, even though he's actually one of the elites in New York, oddly enough. But he's managed to appeal to Republican voters with this know-nothing message.
You write that Trump doesn't know the difference between the Iranian Quds Force and the Kurds. He has the vocabulary of a fifth grader. Hasn't conservative talk radio and cable television, Max, you know, Fox News and others, stoked what you've called the GOP's current vibe of unthinking, all-consuming anger?
Absolutely. I think there's a lot of blame to go around, but I think the rise of talk radio and then of Fox News and this broadcast culture of shouting and, you know, spreading the most extreme messages possible, I think that has created the climate that has made it possible for Donald Trump to seize the Republican nomination. It's shocking and striking to me to see how different the conservative establishment is today from the days when I grew up in the 1980s. I mean, those were very learned people, and they were putting forth interesting ideas that for a while made the Republican Party the party of ideas. But that's, you know, that's ancient history by now. In the last couple of decades, the Republican Party has become the party of vitriol and shouting.
We're just a few months from the general election, and many journalists are still waiting for the Trump campaign to put meat on the bone, policy meat, and it still hasn't happened. To understand where he stands on key education or foreign policy issues, doesn't the party need to step in right now and say, where do you stand on X, Y, and Z, and get some specific policy proposals out there?
Well, I think that's a waste of time. I mean, Donald Trump doesn't know the first thing about policy, and he can't be bothered to learn. I mean, There's no way he can possibly develop detailed policy proposals when he contradicts himself literally from one sentence to the next. I mean, if you look at clips of him saying, I don't want to raise the minimum wage, and the next sentence he says, we need a higher minimum wage. I mean, it's incomprehensible. The only policy planks that would make any sense for him would be to repeal the rules of grammar and the laws of logic. Anything short of that is a waste of time.
Even if Donald Trump loses, Max, what happens to the movement he's created? I mean, to the followers he's ginned up. I mean, that doesn't get magically put back in the bottle quickly.
Well, this is what's frightening to me is the very question you put out there. I mean, my hope is that Donald Trump will lose in a landslide. I mean, I hope he loses every single state and by a large margin, and that the Republican Party comes to its senses. I think that there are smart, reasonable people in the Republican Party like Paul Ryan, who I would hope to be the next generation of leaders, as well as all of the Republicans who are refusing to get on the Trump train, you know, Senators like Jeff Flake and Ben Sasse and Congressman Adam Kinzinger and Senator Lindsey Graham and, you know, Mitt Romney, Jeb Bush, and various others. I think that there is something to build on the Republican Party. But as you suggest, the Trump voters are not simply going to go away. There is an angry constituency that he has appealed to, people who are obviously xenophobic, nativist, protectionist, isolationist, and so forth. Those are terrible ideas. Those are offensive moral ideas. They're terrible as public policy. But Trump has shown that there is a constituency for that. And my concern, of course, is that even after Trump loses, assuming he loses, that there will be mini Trumps coming along to cater to the worst side of human nature. I think that is something that is very concerning. And that's really the reason why I'm still a Republican. I mean, I am tempted, like a lot of my fellow Republicans, to quit in disgust. But I'm going to tough it out, at least until the election, hope that Trump loses and stay in order to fight for the soul of the Republican Party.
Let's talk about what you call the GOP coming to its senses. I mean, you write that the party has a lot of soul searching to do again. But after Mitt Romney lost badly in 2012, the party's after action, you know, what went wrong reports seem to be totally ignored 4 years later when it talks about reaching out to women, minorities, and changing its message. What will that soul searching look like to you? I mean, how can the party best soul search in a way that's actually effective and implemented?
Well, that's a huge issue because, as we've seen what's actually happened, the actual people in the primaries don't care what Republican officials in Washington are saying, and they're going to nominate whoever excites them. And unfortunately, in this case, they were excited by this dangerous, dishonest, low and ignorant demagogue. And that's a real danger 4 years from now. All I can say is that the only real salvation is for Republicans not to put forward 16 or 17 candidates again, but to unite behind one reasonable mainstream conservative, somebody like Paul Ryan or somebody of that nature. I think if there's any good news here, it's that parties can come back from catastrophic defeats, as we saw the Republican Party come back from the pounding it took in 1964. The Democrats came back from the pounding they took in 1972. It's possible to do, but you've got to have a reasonable candidate who appeals to the broad center of the population.
Max, you're assuming that Trump loses in November. What if he wins? What then for the Republican Party?
Well, if Donald Trump wins, the Republican Party is truly the last of my concerns because I think his victory would be a catastrophe for the United States and the entire world. It would be like giving a hunting license to every rogue regime around the planet, whether Russia, Iran, North Korea, or what have you, to attack their neighbors. I mean, he wants to pull all of our troops out of all of our allied countries. He wants to destroy NATO. He wants to pursue a pro-Putin agenda. And oh, at the same time, by the way, he wants to launch trade wars that will cost millions of jobs and thrust us into a recession. He wants to expel 11 million undocumented immigrants and a police state roundup. I mean, this is a catastrophe that I really cannot imagine. I just can't wrap my head around the possibility that Trump could actually become president.
Max, you're clearly anti-Trump. Will you be voting for Hillary Clinton in the fall?
Yes, I don't see any I mean, it's Hillary would not have been my preferred candidate. I'd be delighted to be voting for somebody like Jeb Bush or Mitt Romney. But, you know, it's a binary choice. There's not a serious third-party candidate out there. And for all of her shortcomings, Secretary Clinton is stable. She doesn't want to break up NATO. She doesn't want to abandon our allies. She doesn't want to cater to Putin. You know, I would not lose any sleep if I knew that Hillary Clinton were in control of our nuclear arsenal, whereas I can't imagine giving that life or death power to somebody as unstable and unhinged as Donald Trump.
Max Boot is a senior fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations. He's also a former foreign policy advisor to the John McCain, Mitt Romney, and Marco Rubio campaigns. Max Boot, thanks a lot for talking with us.
Happy to be here, even if the subject is a sad one.